Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show number 16, and I am really excited, as always, that you are here listening to this, not only because I love the community that's being built here. I love getting to know you guys and for you guys to get to know some of these other owners of laundromats. But also I'm excited for you because we have an incredible guest on today. His name is Rick Segrist, not to be confused with Segrist. And if you saw them side by side, you would know the difference immediately because Rick is far better looking than Ryan. And, you know, essentially Ryan just gives the name a bad name. Segrist, Rick Segrist with a G. And man, you know, he's going to put Ryan right out of your minds because he comes with an incredible story. If you are a current laundromat owner, Rick is just bringing a ton of wisdom today. You're going to get a lot out of it, I think, and you're really going to enjoy his story. But also if you are looking to buy your very first laundromat, man, Rick is such an inspiration for anyone looking to buy their first laundromat because he literally started from the bottom. He was a laundromat attendant and he worked his way up through just about every job imaginable in the laundromat industry, all the way up to now he's a laundromat owner. And not only that, but he owns multiple businesses and real estate. So he is just killing it. And I think you're really, really going to get a lot out of this and enjoy his story. So let's jump into it today.
You're listening to the Laundromat Resource Podcast, the show by laundromat owners for laundromat owners, with your host, Jordan Berry.
Before we listen in on this conversation with Rick and glean from his wisdom, I wanted to take a second and celebrate. Man, there's just so much going on with Laundromat Resource right now. It's really, it's blowing my mind. I know I've been saying this a lot lately, but you know, this last week we crossed 500 YouTube subscribers. We've got more than 5,000 page views on the website, and the podcast is still rolling, still no Antarctica, but we're still working towards it. We'll get there. But it's still rolling. You guys are still listening. By the way, I would love feedback from you guys. If there are things that we can include to help make this thing even better, even more useful and resourceful for you guys, man, shoot me some feedback. You can send me an email at jordan@laundromatresource.com. Go on to one of the forums. And leave a comment there, start a thread about the podcast and talk about what's good and what we could do to make it even better. Some way, get in contact with me. I love your feedback on how we can continue to make this thing better and better and better for you and more useful for those of you who own laundromats and those of you who want to buy your first laundromat. So, man, again, I'm just so grateful for everything that's happening here. Membership keeps growing. If you're not a member over at laundromatresource.com yet, you got to get over there. It's a free membership. There's a ton of resources that you can use. The forums are over there. And man, it's just that we're putting more and more stuff over there on that website because we want it to be exactly what we named it. We want it to be the resource for you who own laundromats and for you who are looking to buy your first laundromat. So we're going to continue to build what we have going on over there, more and more resources. And we've been working on some really cool stuff. I know that I've been saying that and it hasn't come out yet, but just stay tuned because there's some cool stuff coming out. So get excited about that. And thank you again for all the different milestones. Wherever you're listening and or watching this, be sure to subscribe because you don't want to miss any of these episodes because we have just incredible people coming on sharing wisdom. For example, last week, if you missed show number 15, you gotta go back and listen to it, because it was incredible. incredible. And not only was there a ton of wisdom, but there was literally some money that can be put in your pocket by listening to that episode last week. So laundromatresource.com/show15 for last week. This week, you can find the show notes, all the links to everything talked about at laundromatresource.com/show16. All one word, laundromatresource.com/show16. Make sure you check that out. Now, I wanted to just take a second. Again, I mentioned the membership over there. There's a forum just to introduce yourself. So if you're brand new to the membership, head over to laundromatresource.com/forums and look for that introductions forum and go introduce yourself. Tell people who you are, where you're at in your laundromat journey, and what you're hoping to get out of, being a part of this community. And people have been over there doing that. And I want to highlight one of our new members who introduced himself this week. But before I get to that, I need to do a special shout out to a very special 2-year-old that I just heard is listening to these podcast episodes with his dad. So, hey, Ronnie, how's it going, buddy? I heard you have some opinions on this podcast. So we'd love to hear those sometimes. But I just wanted to say hi to you, Ronnie, and thank you so much for listening. And man, you have got a head start on pretty much all the rest of us by getting into this thing at 2 years old. All right. Can't wait to have you on when you're 14 and you buy your first laundromat. All right. So what's up to Ronnie? And I also wanted to say a big, huge welcome to the membership to Josh, who's out in Chicago looking to buy his first laundromat. Josh, welcome, man. Super pumped that you're here. Hope that you reach out sometime and we can connect, and hope that you meet some really cool people on the site at laundromatresource.com. So welcome to you. Also on the forums, I know that I'm just outright and blatantly telling you that I'm trying to brainwash you. I want you to go every week to the Laundromat Resource forums. I know a ton of you guys are doing it because I see how many people every single day are going to that forum. And a lot of you guys are commenting. There's a lot of cool stuff happening over there. A lot of cool threads happening. So keep doing that. And I want to just put it in your head one more time. Go over there this week, ask a question, answer a question. That's where community is built, and where community, where networking happens, that's where success breeds. So success is breeding over there in those forums. Those are people who are looking to expand their business knowledge and grow their businesses, grow personally. And man, go be a part of that, because when you're a part of that, that helps you to grow too. Whether you're a veteran who has answers to help other people out with their questions, we got a ton of newbies over there asking great questions. I'm going to highlight one of them in a second. And I know a few of you guys who are veterans are over there helping to answer some of those questions. The rest of you, get over there, ask a question, answer a question. It's not only going to benefit the people whose question you're answering and the whole community, but it's going to benefit you too as well. I promise you that. Just give it a shot. So this week on the forums, go over there, laundromatresource.com/forums, ask a question, answer a question, be a part of the community, contribute, and watch what happens as you know your business and your life just continues to get better. So one question I wanted to highlight that I thought was actually a really, really good question. Brian out in Dallas asked this question on the forums, and he basically is saying he's trying to reach out to laundromat owners in the Dallas area just to ask some questions, to get some info, to help grow, to network. And he's just struggling. Every time he reaches out, he's not hearing anything back from these owners, and he doesn't really know how to connect. How do you find a good mentor in the laundromat industry? And that is an amazing question. And I just wanted to take a second to maybe throw out an answer here, a couple of options here, but I also wanted to encourage you guys, maybe some of you are in the Dallas area or close enough that you'd be willing to connect with Brian over there in the forums and you can help him out. Or maybe you're not in Dallas, but you're still willing to go connect with Brian and help him out and help him jumpstart his laundromat business. So here's a couple of things that I have to say for Brian and anyone else looking for a mentor in the laundromat resource. I mean, in the laundromat industry. Sorry, that's just a habit now. Brainwashed myself. Okay. So number one is we've had some incredible guests on this podcast, and I think every single one of them have at least left an email address. So if you're looking for somebody to help guide you through this stuff, I can't promise you that everybody who's been on the podcast is going to be your mentor and the one who's really going to spend a lot of time with you, because all of these people are busy people. We're all busy. But they might be able to help you out a little bit. So shoot them an email and see what happens. And I will just encourage you, if you do that, try to lead with some sort of value, and with gratitude. Don't email anybody expecting something. Email to give and have, you know, gratitude just for what they've already given here on the podcast. And that's going to get you a lot farther than, getting in there and demanding or, expecting somebody to give you something for nothing. So that's one tip there. The other thing that I wanted to point you to, and I know I've brought him up in the last couple of episodes, and I want to continue to because I think he's doing awesome stuff. Dave Minns, the Laundromat Millionaire, he's got a YouTube channel, and I saw that he has a video exactly on this, how to find a mentor in the laundromat business. So go to YouTube and search Laundromat Millionaire and go find that video on mentors, because you know, Dave is just killing it. I love everything he's doing. And man, I just, you know, the more resources again that we can put in your hands, the better. And Dave is the top notch of resources. So go check that out. Check that video out. If you're looking for a mentor, reach out to some of these podcast guests, get on the forums. That's another great way to just ask those questions and get some more mentorship from the people in the community. So again, and if you are a veteran, get over there and help some people. There's a lot of great questions that are being asked over there. And I know a lot of you guys could really help some people out. So, you know, have that abundant mindset and just, you know, believe, because it's true, that the more that you give, the more that you receive. And let's get over there and do that. Cool. Well, hey, again, we have an incredible, incredible episode today with Rick Segrist, and I, you know, don't want to wait any longer for you to hear this. So right after this message, we're going to jump into it with Rick Segrist and hear about his journey from laundromat attendant to laundromat and multi-business owner.
In today's world, if your laundromat is not online, you're losing business. Customers increasingly decide who to trust with their laundry by the quality of your web presence. But creating a professional logo and website that instills trust in potential customers and can be found on page one of Google can be difficult to create on your own and expensive to purchase through a traditional marketing company. As part of our mission to help laundromat owners succeed and find financial freedom through laundromat ownership, we are launching our Done For You marketing service tailored specifically for laundromats. After ranking number one on Google with our own laundromat website and consulting with many others to help them do the same, we guarantee that we can build you a professional website that ranks on page one of Google within 6 months. Our joint expertise in the laundry industry and over 15 combined years in website design and online marketing allow us to offer affordable, transparent pricing for a high-quality web presence for your laundromats. You invest so much into providing your customers a quality laundry experience. Don't let anyone miss out on what you have to offer simply because they can't find you online. Let Laundromat Resource Marketing take care of your online presence so you can take care of your customers. Visit laundromatresource.com/getonline today for more information. That's laundromatresource.com/getonline or click on the link in the description.
All right, without further ado, let's jump into it with Rick. All right, Rick, how's it going, man? How you doing?
Not bad of yourself.
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm super excited to hear your story and to talk to you about your experience in the laundromat industry, because I know that you have a lot of experience in the industry in a lot of different roles.
Yeah. I've been around the block a couple times.
Yeah. We'll get into that, but tell us a little bit about who you are. And then maybe from there we can lead into how you got into the industry.
Maybe Freak Secrets. I've been in the business for about 19 years and just fixing machines. How I started.
Yeah.
And morphed everything from that, kind of parlayed everything. So, pretty simple.
Yeah, very cool.
Not a whole lot.
Did you got a job fixing machines, or how did that happen? How'd you get into that part of the industry?
So I graduated high school and took the summer off. No idea what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I knew I came from a background fixing cars and knew I didn't want to fix cars or be an auto mechanic of any sort for the rest of my life. I didn't want to do my passion, you know, as a profession. I didn't want to do my hobby as a profession. So my landlord at the time worked for a distributor in the area, and they were setting up for an open house. You know, they had an open house once a year, representatives from the distributor and other distributors, you know, R&B and standard stuff would come. And all I did was get folding tables and chairs, and, you know, we set up for that. And I never left. I was temporary set up summer help and just stayed there and started working. From there, I was trained to fix machines and learn how to fix machines. The owner of the company, my boss, actually owned 3 laundromats. So he kind of doubled it, had the distributorship and 3 laundromats. Uh-huh. And I grew into managing those. You know, and managing the people, fixing the equipment. When I had to fire somebody had to work. So I ended up being a laundry attendant for a long period of time. And my wife actually started going to nursing school, and she wasn't working. Bills were still coming in. So Not only was I fixing stuff, and I talked to my boss and took a job as a laundry attendant. So I was double dipping also. So. That's where I come from.
Well, what I love about that is that, I mean, you literally started by folding, setting up folding chairs and tables and stuff, yeah, and progressing up the ladder to mechanic and attendant, laundromat attendant, which is pretty crazy. I don't think a lot of laundromat owners come through it in that route.
I think it's been an awesome experience because my employees now in my store, they really can't say to me, you know, well, you don't understand. You know, like, yeah, when I interview them and tell them, like, look, there's nothing you have done that I have literally not done.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been where you are or where you're starting. So, you know, there's a good relationship there. I start with a good relationship with my employees.
Yeah, I like that. And I like being able to, you know, that you're able to relate with your employees that way, but also kind of show them, hey, you know, there's ways forward from, you know, from where you're at now and from being an attendant. So yeah. Speaking of which, okay, you started repairing equipment and then you were kind of also, you know, being the attendant at these other laundromats. How did you kind of move forward from there?
So I progressed up through the company, things had changed, and I actually become the lead tech. And younger crew came in and started taking over the stores, and I've become the lead tech of the company, and things started changing with the company. It was going in a different direction. And just come time where it was time for me to try something else. And I always knew I wanted to be my own boss. Mm-hmm. So I took a chance in 2014 and started my own company, fixing washers and dryers and selling as well. And things just grew from there. I kept my contacts, you know, never burn bridges, never know when you come back. Made good relationships with customers that I had at the time. And time come. One of my customers that I was actually fixing equipment for, he approached me, said he was selling his stores. Actually, he had 3 stores. He closed one, sold the equipment. and selling the last two. And he just offered me my store now. So, you know, hey, you want to buy it? Yeah, I knew what it did. I actually put the equipment in my store in 2002. So I have a good relationship with my store. I put my equipment in. I kind of knew the ins and outs. I knew what I was getting into. Yeah, it's got some rough edges, but there wasn't any surprises, basically. I knew what I was. And I bought it. And he was getting at everything else. So he had another business as well, a route operation. And then kind of made a package deal. So bought a route operation, bought the laundromat. And with those three, I've actually parlayed into a, you know, real estate. I have rental properties now too. So just keep growing from there.
Man, what a cool story. I mean, you know, coming from being a tech and having that contact. And I think that speaks a lot to, you know, like you said, you know, building those relationships, not burning bridges, and just seeing kind of what opportunities come and being ready to take advantage of them when they come your way. So what year was it that you got your laundromat?
2017. Yep.
So you put the machines in 2002?
Yes.
And then you bought it 15 years later in 2017.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And the equipment's still there too. It's still going.
So, jeez.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Okay.
It's so good brand of equipment.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. There you go. So you bought kind of this package deal with the laundromat as part of it. So over the last, you know, 3 years or so, what's it been like owning your laundromat? How's that experience been for you?
Good. Not a whole lot of complaints. I mean, it's like with anything else with laundromats, being a business owner, all you're doing is putting out fires, you know?
Right.
You know, what's the next thing that's coming up? But all in all, experience is good. You know, again, don't burn bridges, make relationships. Things are going to come up. You got to deal with them.
Right. Yeah.
Your store floods. Yeah. That's the worst thing, but you got to deal with it.
Yep.
Other than that, you know, employee wise, you're going to have your ups and downs with employees. Some are good. Some are bad. If you hang in there, you eventually weed out all the bad and the good will remain, provided you stay on top of it.
Yeah, right.
That's been my experience.
Yeah. So were you surprised at how much work it's been for you to do to own a laundromat? I think a lot of people get into the industry or want to get into the industry because they think, you know, hey, I'm going to buy a laundromat and then I'm going to go collect coins once a week and it's going to be an easy business. So has that been true for you or has it been more work than expected?
No. From my background, from where I was coming from, managing three laundromats prior to this, my previous boss, I did everything. I collected the coin, hired and fired, counted, all that. To me, it was almost like a step back, taking over a laundromat. But I was doing it for myself. So the reward was a lot greater than before.
So it wasn't
very difficult for me. I kind of knew what to expect when I got into it. And I've heard stories before, people having issues, you know, it's a surprise. They don't realize what's involved. It's not easy. You're dealing with the public. It's not easy at all. And especially if you don't have a background in the business, you don't really know what to expect. Everything comes as a shock. Your drain's back up in your store. It's always on a Sunday. You know, you're at a baby shower or a birthday party or something. Your drains are going to back up or you got a changer that goes down. There's all, troubling things.
Mm-mm. Right.
But I kind of expected it and my life really hasn't changed. And my wife's pretty understanding. Hey, I got to go, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully today will change where I don't have to do that, but now it is what it is.
You know what? You need a you to run your laundromat for you. You from back.
it would be nice. Nice. It'd be like multiplicity, but I can't clone myself too many times.
Yeah.
Just as you were kind of talking about, you know, some of the things, some of the obstacles or, you know, whatever you mentioned, like your store flooding or having to leave random time. I mean, I've had all that stuff happen too. Has there been anything like surprising or funny that's happened at your laundromats out of curiosity?
Actually, the surprising thing I did have is a couple weeks ago, I had an individual call a store. He was disabled and he had dropped his wallet in the store and didn't know it and called back. And actually I was there at the time and answered the phone, and I looked at my camera systems and actually saw the individual pick the wallet up. And I guess kindness was hard, he actually said yes and handed me his wallet, handed me the gentleman's wallet, you know, without any argument or nothing. No. Yeah. I was like, wow, shell shocked. You know? Yeah. I thought for sure we were going to have an issue of some sort, but no, the guy handed it over and, called the guy back, and I actually took his wallet to him. I dropped it off, you know, so he wouldn't have to come back to the store.
How cool. That is surprising.
Yeah. Usually, I've had it before in other businesses. When a wallet's missing, it's usually empty.
It's
found.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good story. I actually had a dryer fire one time. Clothes caught on fire. They never come back to get the clothes. Never questioned it. Nothing. Yeah.
That's weird.
There was something in the clothes that could definitely cause the fire. That was kind of
hot. I was going to say, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's the strange things that I've had.
Yeah.
Nothing I could think of off my head.
Yeah. Knock on wood, I haven't had a dryer fire yet, but I've seen a couple.
I was actually at a store yesterday. They caught on fire. And the way it was explained to me, something in the front or in the dryer actually blew out the front glass, like
what?
Fireball, and it actually blew the window out of the store. It was like a good 7-foot span from the dryer to the store side where the window was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And this all happened in front of a firehouse.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. As I was meeting a former coworker. There, he was putting dryers in, and I pulled out of the parking lot and happened to look over to my right hand side, and there's a firehouse right there. How did this happen? How did the store catch on fire and firehouse right across the street?
Right there, yeah.
Should never got that far.
crazy.
It was very strange. Something blew out of it. They watched the security cameras, and that's how they saw it. They blew a window out of the building. It was that volatile.
There had to have been something on the clothes or something. I don't know. Or something in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, hey, how many hours a week do you spend at your laundromat? I know you have other businesses and stuff too that are kind of related, but specifically managing your laundromat, how many hours do you think you spend?
I would average out probably 4 to 5 hours a week.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are weeks that you will put in a lot more hours.
Totally.
Something breaks or something like that. But on a typical week, you know, a couple hours for a day, two days a week. Yeah.
I think that's pretty typical from that's my experience also, but from a lot of guests we've had on the show, that seems pretty typical, 4 or 5 hours a week or so. Okay. So you own this laundromat. And you own some, you know, tangentially related businesses. Mm-hmm. What do you have any, and some real estate. So do you have any like plans for the future kind of going forward or any goals that you've set?
Your goal is retire in 10 years.
Hey, all right.
But yeah, could be wishful thinking, but always looking for another laundromat. Always shopping. You know, things are scarce right now.
Yeah.
At least the things that I look at. Again, coming from my background, things are kind of challenging because I can see between the lines. Yeah. I don't know if it's really always a good thing when it comes to shopping. Yeah. I know a dud when I see one, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking for another laundromat. My route operations, I'm growing them. I actually just got another one 2 weeks ago, and that's kind of the future I like to go. a lot of competition in the laundromat business, and things are morphing even more. My closest competition in my store now is literally a block away. He's right behind me.
Jeez.
And I have a little store. I mean, I'm only 3,300 square feet. And this mammoth of an elephant store right behind me is 6,000 or 8,000 square feet, something like that. It's big.
Yeah. Because 3,300, I mean, that's not small. There's definitely much smaller stores than that.
Yeah.
When you're sitting next to a 6,000 or 8,000 square foot store, that's
right.
Was that there when you bought it? When you bought the laundromat?
He built after.
After.
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like?
Well, the owner that I bought it from, he actually owned the store the time the store was built. So I didn't own it at the time.
Okay.
It took business away. It's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But he is different from how I ran. Yeah, that store is ran differently. A lot more comfort features and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a come in and get your job done.
Yeah.
Go home.
You know, in and out. Yeah.
He's got the thrills and stuff like that. The only thing I look for in a store is people want to get in, people want to get out. They don't want to hang out there. So make sure your store's clean. Make sure your machines work.
Yeah.
You know, my old boss put in my head that there's being a distributor, there's no reason why our equipment is out of service for any length of time. So I've always had that same mindset. So I keep my machines running so my customers can get in and out. So that's really the only way I can compete against them.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So the store, the big one was built before you bought your store.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But after you put in the new machines, is that in 2002?
No. This store was all relevant to the same time frame of the equipment. Nothing has changed in my store. Just running it properly.
Yeah.
I did add a larger machine to my store, but my machines haven't changed. I did go free dry. That was a big change from the business when that business came in. My store was switched over to free dry.
Yeah. Did that help you maintain business or?
From what I was told by the previous owner, dollar for dollar didn't change anything.
Okay.
But the way, I don't exactly know how it's ran up behind me. I don't have a competition, does it?
Right.
I had never been inside a store. I don't need to go inside a store.
Yeah.
But from what I'm told, his free dry setup is a little different. It's not exactly free dry.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, you come in, you hit start button, you get 15 minutes of free dry.
Okay.
It's not dry enough, hit start button again. So,
yeah.
It hasn't changed anything. If anything, it's helped me.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I pull business from his runoff more or less.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of debate about free dry versus not free dry. Some people love it and swear by it. Some people hate it and think, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'm personally not a fan of it. Just because of the fact you got to compensate your bin prices on your washing machines, which can come into an issue.
Right.
And then, of course, your coin box size, too. I mean, I have smaller coin boxes, so they'll fill up faster. But I never get the complaints that my dryers aren't getting hot. You know, when I'm going in to fix people's dryers, a lot of times you get complaints that the dryers are getting hot, and there really isn't anything wrong with it. Could be just overloaded, something to that effect. Maybe the lint screen didn't get cleaned. I don't really get those problems. You know, when my store, when there's a dryer, it's not getting hot, there's a problem. You see it. You know, you find it quickly.
Yeah.
That's only good, though. But I wouldn't say if it's really that good or not. But
Yeah. What's kept you from getting your next store? I mean, you said you're always kind of on the lookout for a store. Is it just because you haven't found the right one?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't found the right one. And if I could do it this time, I want to buy with the real estate. That's where I want to go. It's the real estate side of things. I want to buy real estate in this area. It's pricey.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things I run into is the laundromat doesn't carry the weight of the mortgage. You know, the laundromats that are for sale, they've owned it for a long time. So mm-hmm. It's paid for.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, when you go ahead and try and buy this now with a mortgage, the laundromat's not making enough to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, that laundromat's making them money. Right. Only them. That's what I see.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of value when you find that laundromat that is able to cover the mortgage and make a little money on top. That's I think that there's a ton of wealth producing power in that combination.
Yes.
Laundromat real estate.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. I think it's super smart to be doing that. That's what I did with my second one. And in fact, when I bought my first one, I didn't really know a whole lot about business or real estate investing. But when I bought my first one, I started reading through the lease, during the escrow period, the due diligence period. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this triple net lease thing? And, you know, come to find out that basically it means the property owner has no expenses and the businesses in the real estate pay for, you know, the insurance, the maintenance, and the taxes on top of rent. And I was like, shoot, man, I'm on the wrong side of this thing over here. I need to get over on the real estate side.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So smart looking for laundromat with the real estate. I think that's a good way to go. And we'll get you to that 10-year retirement, maybe even a little quicker.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's got set goals, right? Yeah. Just because the goal doesn't mean it has to come to fruition. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It'll come to fruition. Yeah. You set that goal and you're way more likely to get there.
So,
you know, in that time. So yeah, stay focused on that and keep on rolling.
Right. Yeah. If I don't get there, it's not because I didn't try. Yeah. At least I'm putting out the effort to, you know, try. And we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very cool. And very cool story. I mean, I think it's really just a unique perspective. You know, we've had quite a few guests on the show already, and I don't think anybody's come up through the ranks the same way that you have. People have definitely, you know, had to work hard early on and grind. But you really kind of came through the ranks. You've been, you know, mopping up, you've been folding clothes, you've been repairing equipment, you've been selling equipment, you've been kind of all over the map. And now, you know, you're here owning a laundromat and running kind of peripheral businesses that run parallel to that. So, man, very, very cool story and experience going in. And, you know, I'd be curious to see, you know, how it keeps going. We're going to have you back on later just to see, you know, what kind of progress you're making towards your 10-year retirement goal.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And how you vanquished that 8,000 square foot laundromat behind you. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. That's
older. Yeah. I feel that pain too. I had one of my laundromats, a few blocks away, another bigger one was built too, and, you know, cut into business a little bit. And, so I definitely feel that pain and that struggle of competing with a larger laundromat for sure.
Yeah, it's hard, but you need to focus on, you know, what you do good. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the only way. Yeah. If you can't compete that way, then close up. Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. That's it. Well, cool. We have a little section of the podcast we like to call Down to Business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
Down to business. We just like to hear a little bit of details about your business. We've talked a little bit about some of those already, but can you tell us where you're located? Where are you at?
I'm in Baltimore, Maryland.
All right. That's just about as far away from where I am as you can be in the lower 48.
Yeah.
Over here. Yeah. And I've never been to Baltimore. I'd love to go someday, but I've never been that far over.
Wait till the corona goes away. At least wait till there's a vaccine.
Yeah.
Which my wife is working on. She's trying to get it.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Yeah, your wife, she's a nurse. Is that what you said?
She's a research nurse.
Oh.
Yeah, she does clinical trials and such. Yeah. And that's what they're focusing on right now, is everything's COVID related. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else stopped. The world stopped. It's COVID.
I know. Yeah. Well, hey, she's a hero. That's all I'm hearing right now. And, appreciate the efforts of her and everybody else who's working on this thing, because, you know, I think pretty much all of us are ready for things to kind of normalize a little bit again and let us get back out there and, give each other hugs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She's very strong will. I mean, you know, to put up with working and put up with me. Jesus.
Well, hey, man, you married up then. Good work.
Yeah.
All right. So you own one laundromat and you said you own some real estate. What kind of real estate? Do you have residential, commercial?
Yeah,
what kind of real
estate? Residential.
Residential, yeah. Rental real estate.
Yep.
Very cool. I hear that a lot. I think that's a really good, good place to be right now too. And you said you've been in the business as an owner for 3 years, right? But you've been in for what, like 19 years?
Yeah.
At various capacities.
Started in 2001. Yeah. It was September 2001 I started.
Yeah.
And I haven't changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed around me, but yeah.
Yeah. Man, September 2001 was a very interesting time in our history here too. So you are running right through all of the big milestones of our country.
Yeah. I mean, I've been through a lot of things. You know, the DC sniper was going on when I was working too. And
yeah.
Been through some things.
Been through it, man.
Yeah, I remember doing an install, Northern New Jersey. Yeah, the distributor had the whole mid-Atlantic area. And we actually saw where the Twin Towers used to stand. You know, how we come across the bridge and we could see it. So
yeah, geez.
Kind of touch and go.
Yeah, a lot of crazy things in these last 19 years that we've all been through, so.
Definitely.
Yeah. But stuck with it and weathered it. Can you give us just like a ballpark general idea of like what your VIN prices look like? I know you're free dry. Can you give us like a ballpark of what they?
I range, my top order is 3.25 all the way up to $15.
What size washer is the $15?
90.
Those are big old honking washers, man.
Yeah.
90 pounders.
Yeah.
Do you find that customers like those, the big old 90 pounds?
My customers do.
Yeah.
If anything I could tell anybody, you got to know your customer base. Mm-hmm. And it won't work in every single location. At least this is my personal experience. my demographics come in and want to stuff it all in one machine, get it done, get out. They don't want to break it down. It's not the old school way anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I do need some top loaders because they want to pop the lid and touch the water and maybe scrub the collar. So I have a few for them, not many, 4 total. But the rest is big stuff. They just want to mash it in and get out.
Yeah.
No fooling around.
Yeah. You know, yesterday I was at one of my laundromats and I was looking back on some of my collection trends, and I don't know if this is just a random kind of fluke at my store, but the last like couple months, my larger machines have been down and my smaller machines have been up in as far as turns per day. So that was just kind of an interesting little observation I have. I don't know if it's, you know, people are trying to save money or they're just not doing as much laundry, but it's been
interesting. Could be a combination of both. Less laundry and a quarter shortage, you know?
And a quarter shortage. Yeah, you're right, man. That stuff is like gold right now.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think it's made out of silver again.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. You need to start hoarding quarters, man.
Yeah.
Cool. Is your laundromat attended or unattended?
Attended.
Attended. Are you the attendant?
I can be. I can be.
I've done it too.
Yeah, 24 hours. It's attended 24 hours.
Yeah, cool. Are you a coin store, card store, hybrid store?
I'm a coin store. I should tell you, I'm a cash store.
Okay.
I have a central pay system inside that are in the store next to the changers where they can start the machines with cash.
Oh, that's cool.
Quarters in. Because one, I was trying to save that volume space in coin boxes, mm-hmm. which helped me actually, they cut a day out of my daily grind of going there. I used to have to go 3 days a week because coin boxes would back up. So it's that in coin also, they can still put quarters in the machines or they can start any machines with cash.
Okay. Is it like a remote thing? Like you do it at a kiosk and then you punch in which machine number or something like that?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's
very, very old. My system that's in my store, it's very outdated. It's Microsoft. Gosh, I don't remember. It's outdated. I know that. So I had to pull all the wires for it. You know, everything's hardwired. You know, the stuff nowadays, all cloud-based. Wireless stuff like that.
Hey, but you know what? If it saves you a whole day of grinding, then who cares if it's new school?
It's cool. Freed up a day a week. I don't have to go there. And on top of that, it gave me a plus because quarter jams in the machine, coin back, get a bent quarter. That machine doesn't have to be down.
Yeah.
Go to the kiosk and start it.
Yeah. That's nice. That is nice because... You know, it is a bummer when there's a bent quarter in there and, mm-hmm. you know, nobody can use that machine all of a sudden till you or a mechanic or somebody gets out there to clear that jam. And
maybe it's just me. That's kind of why I stay away from the card systems. If I go with a card system, it's going to still have to accept cash. I do not want to take that coin back out of it. I love fail safes in place and.
Yeah.
You know, except quarter and.
Yeah, redundancy and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes redundant is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Well, cool. Well, that's informative. I appreciate you sharing that stuff about your business. I think that just kind of helps all of us who, you know, either own laundromats or who are looking to buy their first laundromat, just kind of have an idea of, you know, the performance of laundromats kind of all over the country, all over the world, really. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. Next section of the podcast, we like to call the secret sauce.
Listen up. It's the secret sauce.
What's one thing that's working in your business right now that other owners can implement to help them, you know, grow their business?
Know your customer base. Know what your customers really are looking for is probably the best thing I can. That's my secret sauce. You know, I try to relate. A lot of times I can't, but if I can't, I still want to try and accommodate. Nothing else. I can at least try and accommodate them. Customer service. That's really where it is. You know.
Can you give me an example of what it would look like to know your customer base?
Well, my giant machine that I put in, mm-hmm. you know, there I had three 80-pound machines in the store, and there used to be a line for those three 80-pound machines. I need a bigger. You know, they're coming in and they're mashing them, and moms want to get out, and their kids are screaming. Yeah. I put a 90-pound machine in. Yeah. And then started realizing, you know, how much time are they wasting in their life pumping quarters in?
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of quarters.
Yes. That's a lot of work. Then it was like, okay, now I need to do this central pay system. Put this in. You know, it's like kind of relate somehow. Like put yourself in their place. You know, how frustrating could something be? And how can I make it easier? That's pretty much how I work. And you have your stuff working. You know, there's no reason the customers don't want to deal with parking machines. So,
yeah, I mean, I think for any business, you know, but particularly for laundromats, but really for any business, you really can't go wrong with putting yourself in the customer's shoes and helping, you know, just make things run smoother, easier for them. And so, you know, adding more large machines when they need them, giving alternative ways to pay, all that stuff, even like, you know, setting up a kid's corner or something like that for parents who have kids running around, all that stuff is just putting yourself in the customer's shoes and, you know, solving the issues that
before
make it
become an issue
before they become an issue to make it that make it difficult for them to, you know, use your product or service. And so I love that advice. I think that is, you know, it truly is really great secret sauce that I think every owner can implement into their business to just pause, take a second from the grind of, you know, everything that we're doing to run our businesses and just step back and think, okay, I'm a, you know, my typical customer. What's my experience like in my laundromat and how can I improve that experience? I think that's great advice. Something I probably need to do with both of my laundromats right now to just, you know, take that time again and step back and reevaluate the experience.
Yeah.
Awesome advice. Well, the next section of the podcast we like to call Pro Tips. Pro Tips is geared more towards someone who is looking to maybe buy their first laundromat or who's starting to do some research in the laundromat industry. You know, do you have any advice for that person? Something that maybe you feel like they need to know before they get into the industry?
Know the area. Know what you're getting into. If you're building a store, that's another thing. You know, does it warrant the size of store you want to put there? You want to get your bills paid. If you're buying a store, drive around. Look and see what your competition is doing. See what you can do different. And again, try and know your customer base. You know, don't put a card system in if you know that 90% of your customer base is paying with cash. Yeah. Don't, it's just not good. Yeah. You're not accommodating your customers. So know your area, know your demographics, do your research. Again, with everything else, when you're buying something, do your due diligence, shop around and don't do anything out of haste. Yeah. Look at it, evaluate it. And if you're buying a building or buying an existing store already, get a water bill. It's the biggest advice I can get. Get a water bill. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great advice to just kind of, common theme, but like take a step back and evaluate, take a step back and think, you know, think through what you're doing and it's a big investment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to think of myself as a procrastinator, but I don't do anything in a rush. You know, like think of methodical, you know, I look at things, I assess it and I've learned this from other people that have been successful, at least in my eyes are successful. Uh-huh. So, I kind of adapt their theories and sleep on it, you know, look at it and see what you really think. Mm-hmm. It took me 15 years or something that affected marrying my wife. So don't do anything too fast.
Yeah.
It was something that, you know, we dated for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she loved that.
Yeah.
Well, I personally like that advice because my tendency is to not be methodical. It's to just, bam, go for it. I'll have an idea and I'll just kind of just jump into it. And, you know, sometimes it works out well and sometimes it just gets me into some trouble. So I like that advice.
Yeah. I try not to do anything out of haste. I want to evaluate it, you know, especially when I spend a lot of money. Yeah. Maybe I'm cheap, but
no, I mean, it sounds like wisdom.
Yeah. I try to spend my money wisely. Yeah. And I think with time comes with wisdom. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, also we were talking a little bit before we started, recording here and we were kind of talking about, you know, advice for new people. And one of the things that you mentioned before we started recording was, you know, that you're going to have to work hard. And that's kind of how we got into your experience. You want to talk about that you know, just for a little bit?
Yeah, nothing come easy. Everything that I've had to work hard for it. You know, I crawled from the bottom, mopping floors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You learn to have a new appreciation the harder you work for it. Not that you deserve it, but you feel more appreciative of it. There's nothing wrong with it. It just puts you a little further behind. So everything I had to work really hard for. I made it out of high school and didn't go to college and knew that I was going to have to do something with my hands and, you know, started out as that. Now I own businesses.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Very good advice, I think. So anybody who is looking to get into the industry, I mean, take this advice and be methodical in the decisions you make. Like you said, it is a lot of money that you are, you know, putting into buying a business like a laundromat. And in fact, that's one of the big, you know, the highest barriers of, you know, getting into this industry is they can be very expensive. So you definitely do want to be methodical. You don't want to rush into anything without having, you know, as good of an understanding of what you're getting into as you can before you jump in.
Yeah. It's very expensive to get into the business.
Yeah. But also with all that said, I'm going to let my impulsive side talk for a second, because I know that a lot of people have this tendency to just learn and research. And I do coaching calls all the time with people who this story, and maybe some of you guys listening to this can relate to this, who will say, I've been looking in the laundromat for 3 years. I've been looking in the laundromats for 5 years and I haven't bought one yet. And so it's very easy to, you know, stay in that phase where you're researching, you're learning, and not take action. And it's the action after you've done that research that moves you forward. That's how you got where you were. You just kept taking that next step. You started setting up tables and chairs. Then you started working on machines. Then you were an attendant. Then, you know, and you just kind of kept taking action. You kept moving forward. And here you are owning multiple businesses now and starring on the Laundromat Resource Podcast, which may possibly be the most prestigious thing you've done yet. I don't know.
Yeah. Possibly. It's funny how things parlay. You know, you do one thing, you know, you're putting chairs and folding chairs up, and next thing you know, you're zooming a podcast.
Yeah. You're an international laundromat sensation.
It's funny how things parlay into the next thing. It's very interesting.
I've got to rat you out here for a second, because Rick told me before this is his very first Zoom that we've ever done. And I was just cracking up at that. I don't know how you've survived the everything going on right now without having Zoomed before. It seems like it's all the rage, but welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the world of the internet.
Terrifying place, huh?
It is. One last question before we kind of wrap this thing up is, do you have any resources that you'd recommend? I mean, we are a laundromat resource, and we're trying to put resources into the hands of owners that will either help their businesses grow or help them personally grow. So do you have any resources maybe that you'd recommend for other owners or potential owners?
Resources as in like equipment or anything in general?
Anything that might help their business or help, we've had people suggest equipment. We've had people suggest books. We've had people suggest coaching programs, all kinds of different things. So just anything that maybe has helped you grow that you think maybe, or your business?
In the business itself, probably one of the best coaches I've had was actually my old service manager and salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good advice to probably go to your local distributor and just talk to a salesman. Don't pick just one distributor. Go to multiple and assess everything. Do your due diligence and evaluate. I feel like people that are in the business are probably the best coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get your most influence from. You know, my great influence I had was a technician that has been in the business forever. And he taught me what I know. And my old service manager, which was a salesman as well. And when a salesman walks in with a tool bag in his hand, yeah, it's kind of odd. He's going to sell you a piece of equipment, but yeah, I'll fix it too. So it's like, you know, it's the best coach. I find them as the best coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's so wise. I think, you know, I tell people this all the time, find somebody who knows the business, who's experienced in the business. It was the biggest mistake I think I made getting into the industry, where I relied on, you know, one person who, you know, it was a distributor, but it turns out it wasn't a friendly distributor. Uh-huh. So make sure it's a good one.
Shop around, not all the same.
Be methodical about it.
That was the greatest thing about mine. Like I said, he walk in with a tool bag and fix the machines. You know, he's a technician as well as a salesman. So yeah. Evaluate.
Yeah. So yeah, a great, you know, resource recommendation is find good people to give you good advice. And that's
other business owners.
Yeah.
Other laundromat owners, go to them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to talk to you, then you know what you're getting into. I have no problem coming here and talking to you. So anybody can come talk to me. You know, I don't know if my advice is good, but I'll give you advice. I think people are the best coach.
Yeah.
You just got to find the right coach.
Yeah. And, you know, you're being modest because I know that you are, you know, you're wise and you do give good advice because you've been through it. You know, you really respect somebody who has worked as hard as you have and who has gone through and been willing to put in, you know, the time and energy, the way that you have to get to where you're at and to even have a goal to retire in 10 years is, you know, I mean, it just says a lot about, you know, who you are, how much you've grown from, you know, the days where you're setting up chairs to now you're owning multiple businesses and you have big goals, you know, to be done early. And so don't be too modest. I mean, you could be modest, but I'll, you know, pump you up here a little bit. So.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And speaking of you being able to give good advice, is there a way, you know, anybody listening to this podcast who maybe wants to reach out to you to talk laundromats with you, or just to say thanks for coming on and sharing your experience, is there a good way for them to contact you?
Sure. You can send an email and you can send it to Rick, my name, @reslaundry.com.
So awesome.
That's the name of the company, RES Laundry.
Awesome. Well, Rick, I really, really appreciate you coming on. It's been really cool to hear your story and it's been really cool to hear your experience just coming up through the ranks and in getting to the level of success that you're at now. And I'm pumped for you because I know that you're going to, you know, blow past where you're at now and continue to grow, continue to be more successful. And my prediction, you heard it right here on the podcast, is that you're going to hit that ability to retire well before that 10-year mark, because I think that, you know, just your mindset and your methodical nature and, you know, the lessons that you've learned, the way that you've learned them are, you know, it's going to be an exponential growth. So I'm pumped for you and I'm excited for kind of for where you're going. So we are going to have you back on down the line a little bit to hear your progress.
Love your optimism. Such an optimist.
Yeah. No, I mean, I consider myself a realist. It's happening, man. It's happening. Well, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Excellent. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
How cool is that story? I mean, Rick is, literally coming from a laundromat attendant to owning a laundromat and other businesses and real estate. I mean, just such an inspirational story. I hope that those of you guys who are in the business really just gleaned some wisdom from him. And, you know, I want to just encourage you, as I do every single week, take a second and think about what's one thing that you heard today, one thing that you learned today, one just aha moment that you had today that you can put something into practice. And again, if we're doing this every week, if we're listening to the wisdom from these people who are doing what we're all trying to do, and if we can just put one thing into practice incrementally every week, then, man, our businesses are just going to explode over time. So keep doing that. Keep putting this stuff into action. Again, listening to stories is awesome. Learning is awesome, but it's really the action that gets you where you want to go. So put that action in. And if you're somebody who's buying your first laundromat, man, you have got to be encouraged by someone who could come from being a laundromat attendant to owning a laundromat. If he can do it, we can all do it. So keep at it, keep working, keep grinding, keep hustling, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Again, that action is where it's at. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this show today. And I want to encourage you guys, if you haven't yet already, whatever platform you're listening on, make sure that you subscribe, go leave a comment, leave us a rating, leave us a review. That just helps us out as we continue to try to put out content that is a resource for you, is helpful for you as a laundromat owner and as someone looking to get into the industry. So help us out that way, and feel free to share these episodes with anybody you think might be interested. All right, guys. Well, I loved hanging out with Rick today, and I loved hanging out with you guys. We'll see you on the forums this week, laundromatresource.com/forums. Ask a question, answer a question, and we will talk to you again next week on show number 17. Peace. We'll be right back.